100% mortgages are back. So what does that mean? That means that you can now buy a house with zero deposit. So there is no excuse for not jumping onto the property ladder. We're going to be discussing the pros and the cons of doing this in detail on this week's show. My name is Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. So I think this is quite exciting news. So 100% mortgages are back.
Yes, very exciting.
It is exciting. I think that it's a great time. Right now, I was saying this the other day anyway, I think it's a great time to invest right now because they've been stagnant for a little while. And I even said, I think it's been the best time to invest in property since 2008.
Well, yeah, because this hasn't been a thing since pre-2008, has it? 100% mortgages.
Yeah, not really. Been sort of flirting with it. There's been some sort of schemes and stuff that have been going on, but not properly, no. I mean, it was sort of pre-2008 where people were literally just buying houses. Just before we got into property, yep. Annoyingly, but people were literally just buying houses, no deposits. Oh yeah, got another one.
This is really exciting times. Like, kind of wish our kids were a bit older, because if you generally are just, because obviously this can't be done on buy-to-let properties. This is your first home. This is for yourself. So, but anyone that is looking to do that, kids that want to move out of their homes, what a great. Great time.
Right now, if you don't own a property right now, you should be jumping up, celebrating and getting on the ladder because we know...
Do you know what this reminds me of?
Go on.
When we were watching the F1 the other day and Piastri pitted and then came back out and then there was a yellow...
Where the hell are you going with this analogy?
Yeah, yellow flag. Right. And then basically it was like, oh... Everyone else got to like reap the benefits of something here.
Oh, the safety
prior.
Car came out. Was
it Norris that just pitted? Yeah. And it was like, oh, I'm unlucky, bro. I feel like now, if I was one of the people that could jump on this, and I'd be like, like, this is the time.
Well, I know what you mean, but there are some cons to this as well.
Okay. Let's go through the cons. But if you're not going to jump on it now, then.
Yeah, if you're literally just renting anyway and you want to get on the ladder and you've got no deposit saved. You should do this.
Yeah.
1,000,000%. Okay. But yeah, there are some pros. So let's look at the pros, look at the cons. So first, I suppose question to ask is how much can you actually borrow?
Yeah. Because is this we're going to have an influx of people getting themselves mansions with no deposits, right? Brilliant. My first house, I'm going to get a £3 million mansion.
Yep. Zero deposits down.
Yeah. So how does it work on how much can you actually...
So you can borrow up to 4.5 times your income.
Yep.
So if you're on 30 grand, it would be you just do 30 times 4.5, which would be, I don't know, 114. So my math's probably not very good on that, but whatever. Right. 100.
Oh, sorry. You wanted me to actually work that out there.
Yeah, go on. Yeah, if you could.
No, what?
All right. So 4.5 times 30 grand. Well, 4 times 3 is 12, 120, plus a half again. I think it's 135.
Yeah.
I think, but. Let me know in the comments if I got that wrong. But I'm sure you can work it out. If you had a calculator to hand, you'd be fine. But you can borrow 4.5 times.
I feel like that really shouldn't have been that difficult to work out, but...
Well, go on, what is it then?
Well, I don't know, but...
Well, then shut up then. At least I've got a figure. Or a maximum of 500 grand.
So they have capped it.
Yeah, so if you've got like a 200 grand salary, you can't go, ha-ha, I'm going to borrow 800, 900 grand or whatever.
So for example, do you know how Weird always rented...
Mm-hmm.
So we would have been capped at $500,000. We couldn't just suddenly turn around. When we bought this as our first...
No, we'd have been capped at half a mil.
We would have been capped at half a mil.
Everyone's capped at half a mil. Okay. So if you live in London, you can't buy a lot, I'm afraid. But anywhere outside of London, and even in London, you could buy something. But it's not quite as good in London. No.
Because, actually, in reality, $500,000 doesn't actually get you a lot at all in London, does it?
No. There's a few other problems as well. Okay, so that's not a big problem. Oh, the minimum is 75 grand. Just because, you know, they don't want paupers buying houses, apparently.
your standard house.
Yeah, you want a 50 grand house in Hull? No, we ain't letting on that. Okay, so yeah, so 75 grand to $500,000 or 4.5 times your salary, whichever is lower out of those two.
Another neg is you're actually fixed in, you're on a 10-year
Or 15.
Or 15.
Yeah, so if you take a normal mortgage with them, you have to pay a deposit, like, of course.
Yeah.
This is only for 10 or 15 year fixes, yeah. So you're fixed in, the starting interest is 5.99% as well.
Yeah.
So the interest is quite high, especially for a residential mortgage, but then you're not having to put down a deposit. So, you know, it's still really good, I think. So on like a 200 grand house, you know, you might be looking at £1,200 in interest payments, which is probably similar to rent.
Yeah.
To be fair. So it's quite similar to the rent. So again, it's going to be a struggle to make it to work for a buy-to-let, I suppose. Well, you can't do it as buy-to-let. It's only for residential property. But yeah, it's similar to rent, but you're buying it.
Yeah.
So
what would happen if you bought one and then after 2 years thought, nah, I want to move out?
Okay, well, I thought about that. Because they don't want people refinancing very quickly away from their products and their expensive rates. So they're fixed, like I say, you're fixed in for 10 years. It's a 9% penalty for breaking it early. Although it does go down over time. So if you're on the 10-year fix, it's 9% for year one, 9% for year two. And then after that, it drops by 1% every year. So 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, all the way down. So if after 5 years, you'd be on 9, 9, 8, 7, 6, 6% fee.
Yeah.
So 200 grand mortgage, it'd be like, that's 12 grand penalty for just breaking the term.
Yeah. So early. This really is, I mean, and they've tried to make the rules. So it really is for people that are looking to just get on the property.
Get on the ladder. But the thing is,
their own home that they want to live in, they probably do want to live in for the next 10, 15 years, then it is amazing, isn't it?
If I was advising my kids, though, and they were like, didn't have any money saved and wanted to get on the ladder, I'd be like, just do it. Because the thing is, you're benefiting from the capital appreciation.
Yeah.
So if you buy it, a 200 grand house, and in 10 years, we know on average, they double every 10 years, and you might not believe that, but go and have a look back through history, go and look at what house prices were in 1930, 40, 50, 60, and you'll see they genuinely do, right?
Yeah.
So if it's worth 400 grand in 10 years' time, yes, you're paying quite a high interest, but you've put down zero money, and you've made 200 grand in capital appreciation. Yeah. So you're laughing all the way
through.
You are,
because I do honestly, all you hear when, why are you not on the property ladder, the deposit, I just cannot save the deposit. People save years, they move back into parents, like they're renting, they move back into parents' homes to try and save deposits. Like it is the big thing that everyone says the excuse is because they can't save a deposit. So this is like, it's quite exciting. I'm kind of excited to see how many people really do take the chance and get on the property ladder.
I agree.
Because I've heard so many excuses of we just can't save the deposit. And I just think, well, here you go then. Here's your time.
I totally agree. A couple of questions I wanted to ask you about when you're buying though. Because here's the, and you can say agree, disagree, whatever you think. All right, number one. So if you're buying your property, if you're investing in property, should you be buying your personal home first? Or should you not buy your personal home and should you buy investment properties instead? So my statement is going to be, don't buy your personal home. Agree or disagree? Analyze.
Agree.
You agree, don't buy your personal home. But then you're just telling people it's super exciting because they got a chance to buy their personal home.
It is. It, and the thing is, I do stand by, which is exactly what we did. I know we now have bought our personal home, but we invested all our money in to buy to lets and we didn't, and we rented for years and years. And now everyone's like, now when we say, everyone's like, hey, we've got you though, because you've bought your personal home. And it's, well, yeah, we did after years and years and years where we had loads of money and we could just go, yeah, let's buy ourselves our dream home. But I also do think, don't let a good opportunity pass you by. So I also, for someone who just isn't on the property ladder and hasn't got a deposit, and would I then go, no, let this happen? No, don't get buying your own house here. Let that opportunity pass you by, because you need to be buying, not investing in properties first, not buying your personal home. No, let this opportunity, you know, no, of course not. So in this case, if there is someone that just cannot get on the property ladder, they haven't got a deposit, would I say miss this opportunity to buy their own home? Of course not, no.
No. See, I would say in principle, you don't want to be looking to buy your own home. Because in principle, you want to be looking to buy investment properties. You want to be looking to buy...
I forgot the word investment. Property. I was saying everything but investment in that little section there.
You want to be buying investment properties that are going to go up in value. You want to be buying properties that you're strategically buying that you can renovate, for example, or, you know, doing BRR type strategies. Those are the sort of properties you want to invest in. However, it's often much cheaper to buy in your personal name. So what I would say is, buy stuff in your personal name, use this mortgage, for example, get your cheaper stamp duty, live in it for a little bit.
And then you can always turn them into investment properties.
But don't buy it with your personal home. When you're looking for properties, don't look for something, I'd like to live in that. That's when you're not going to get a great deal. Look for properties that are great investments. And if you want to use this mortgage to get it 100% mortgaged, or if you want to use... just even if you don't use this one, if you just pay a 5% deposit or a 10% deposit,
yeah,
and not fixed in for a million years on a stupidly high interest rate, you got to look at what works best, right? Just because it's a zero deposit doesn't necessarily make the best deal.
No,
it could be that you're better off putting 5% in.
Yeah,
5% of 200 grand is only 10 grand.
Yeah,
it's not like we're talking a load of money here.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't just do it. Woohoo!
Yeah, compare the options and say, right, but. If you buy, say, a 200 grand property, you put 10 grand in, but you pay lower stamp duty, et cetera, you fix for 2 years, you renovate it, you make it nice, 2 years comes to an end, you change it onto a buy-to-let mortgage, you pull the money back out,
yep,
move on to your next one, right? And you buy another, or you sell it and flip it,
yep,
and buy another house to live in. A lot of people do that. So I don't think you should be buying a home to live in, as in to live in, oh, yes, it's my dream home, I want to live here.
Yeah.
I think you should buy investment properties. If you live in them to make them a better deal,
yeah,
fair enough. Does that make sense?
Yes, no, I think that totally makes sense.
All right.
On a bit of a side note,
yeah,
it just popped into my head when I struggled with the word investment there for a second.
It's a hard word when you're on the property investors podcast.
I know,
yeah,
but I've been having a bit of a week this week my words. And this has got nothing to do with anything to do with property, but I just wanted to see if other people struggled with this. I had a very embarrassing moment this week. And it's a very long story, but to get there really quick, my brother was in a car accident, well, a van accident. He had to have his shoulder reconstructed by the surgeon. Right, and then this week we had to go for an appointment at a doctor's, see, I'm stumbling over the words. It's because I'm panicking about what I've got to say. And something very, very embarrassing happened. We were both sat there and my brother goes, he needed to see the surgeon that had worked on his shoulder.
Okay.
And he obviously tried to ask for that. I need to see the
shoulder surgeon.
Well, yes.
Hold on.
Hang on. So he started and I looked at him and... After about 4 attempts of saying it, he just looked mortified, and I was thinking, and the doctor was looking at him like, I know he's hit his head in this, like, is he having an episode?
But then you jumped in.
So I thought, I'll jump in and save the day, and I said, what he's trying to ask for is the shoulder, sir. The shoulder, sir.
Why is that hard to say?
The shoulder. And I forget what
the shoulder surgeon.
But then if you just say, can I see the shoulder, sir? The shoulder, sir. And you just start, the soldier, and you start saying the soldier.
It's a good job he's not a soldier. Imagine if he was a soldier surgeon.
You say soldier surgeon, and I was just like, and the doctor was just looking at us like.
You should have gone, all I say. I know you're looking at us like we're idiots. You say.
So it's really difficult.
It is hard. That's quite shocking.
Like soldier surgeon.
Yeah, it's a bit like the she sells seashells.
But
by
I think this is harder. I actually forget, and I have to sit there and think, no, hang on, what is this? Shoulder, because I lose the ability to say the word.
Use the ability to speak.
I'm like the soldier surgeon, the shoulder surgeon. I was just interested. Is that just me and my brother and some very weird...
It is hard to say, but I'd love to know in the comments. Let us know in the comments.
Have a go.
Say it out loud.
Shoulder... surgeon.
Yeah, but you can't think about it like that.
No, but I'm saying that's what you've got to say, but just say it.
But say it quick.
Shoulder surgeon. I can't. Shoulder surgeon. Soldier. shoulder. Surgeon.
Well done. Anyway.
Sorry.
Back to the show. Anna had a little moment there. with her shoulder surgeon and her investments that she couldn't talk about.
A lot of people always ask, you know, should I buy a limited company? Should I buy in a personal name? And most of the advice out there would say limited company. Now, we're looking at this deal right now. It's like, why on earth?
Yeah.
If you bought a 200 grand property for a limited company, you're paying a 50 grand deposit, or you can pay no deposit.
Yeah.
But why on earth would you buy this deal right now when you've got this mortgage offer in a limited company?
Well, you wouldn't.
You probably wouldn't. But the truth is there's pros and cons.
There is.
To both.
But some of the pros normally to buying in your personal name, which obviously you can see in this deal, is it tends to be low deposits.
Well, yeah.
Well, it is. Anyway, this obviously, no deposit. But even normally, low deposits,
yeah.
Low stamp duty.
The stamp duty is especially if you're a first-time buyer, yeah. You can pay nothing in stamp duty.
Yeah.
So, yeah, stamp duty, lower deposits.
And interest rates.
Now, in this case, again,
yeah.
This is what you've got to assess it, right? Yeah. So in this case, obviously, the interest rates are pretty high.
To make up for the fact that you've paid no deposit. But normally, when you're buying in your personal name, the interest
rates... You're looking at about 1%
yeah.
cheaper, which could make a big difference over yeah. the year. So what I would suggest, if you're looking to buy a property... There's a few more benefits as well, though. So here's the really big one. If you're doing, if your plan is to refinance, so let's say we bought this property. In 10 years' time, it's worth 400 grand, right?
Yeah.
So how do we get our hands on that equity that's gone up? There's three ways. You can borrow against it, okay, which we're not going to talk about particularly, but you can borrow against
yeah.
it. You could sell it. Now, if you sell it and it's in your personal name and it's your residential house, you don't pay any tax.
Yeah.
If you sell it and it's a buy-to-let property in your personal name, you pay capital gains tax.
Yep.
And if you sell it for a company, you pay corporation tax. So they're kind of similar. Corporation tax and capital gains are a similar rate. However, if you refinance it in your personal name, you don't pay any tax.
Yep.
The money just comes to you tax-free because you don't pay tax on debt. If you refinance it for your limited company, the exact same, except for the money doesn't go to you. The money goes to the company because the company owns it. So if you want to get your hands on that money,
yeah.
If you want to like, oh, well, now I want to go and spend that on whatever, you've got to take that money out of the company.
Which then you have to pay tax on.
Exactly. So that's the big one for me is if your plan is to hold, wait for it to go up in value, refinance. Wait for it to go up in value, refinance. A lot of people do this and they live tax-free. If you've got 10 houses.
Yeah, that's the difference, isn't it? To make it in simple terms. If you've got a company where it's just say you and your wife have a company and you just want to keep investing. So you want the money to reinvest. Great. Do it through a limited company.
Yeah.
But if you are wanting the money to live on and you're just trying to make money, you need that 400 grand because you want to go on a massive lavish holiday or you anything personally you want to do with it that isn't basically investing it.
If you want to use it as income.
Income.
Then it's better off in a personal
name.
It
is, yeah.
If you're just looking to reinvest it, it might as well be in a company.
Yeah.
So they're the pros and cons, well, for personal name. The big con for personal name and the big pro for limited company, and this is what everyone bangs on about,
yeah.
is that if those interest payments we talked about earlier, 1,200 quid, if it's in your business, in your limited company, you can claim that back as a tax deductible expense.
Yeah.
If it's not, you can't. So you might have a property in your personal name where you were making 1,500 in rent, but you were paying 1,000 on your mortgage interest. So you'd look at that and you'd go, well, I'm making 500 quid profit. Obviously, forgetting all of the costs, but just for simple terms, I'm making 500 quid profit. So I've got to pay tax on the 500 quid. But in your personal name, you'd have to pay tax on the full 1,500, which could be... probably would be, in this case, more in tax than you're making in profit.
Yeah.
So you're literally losing money on it, whereas in your limited company, you'd only pay the tax on the 500. So that's the big pro. But it really does depend
yep.
on all the other factors, because it might be that, yeah, I'm making less money on the rent, but I saved 30 grand in stamp duty, and I put down a 20 grand deposit rather than a 60 grand deposit. And so you've got to assess
yeah,
it and
you've
weigh
just,
it up.
You've each property you go to buy, just work it out. Work out which one would be better.
Yeah.
Rather than going, no, I only buy through limited company. Like everyone just takes a big stance on one way or the other. And that's the correct way to go. And
yeah. But, the other thing as well is everyone's always bought in their personal name. Limited company is quite a new thing.
Yeah.
But the rules could change.
Yeah.
It could be that they get everyone to buy through a limited company and then they go, you know what? We're gonna screw over limited company owners now. Yeah. We're going to change the laws, make it really difficult for them. So I think the real thing is just buy.
Yeah.
Good deals. If you buy a good deal, if you buy a BRR that you're forcing up in value and you're making a load of money, whether you own it in your limited company, whether you own it in your personal name, who cares?
Yeah.
If you manage to go and buy your own house to live in now with this 100% deposit, so you're putting zero
100% down, deposit.
Oh, that'd be bad.
With this great deal, this 100% deposit.
100% deposit. Yeah, that's not a great mortgage, that, is it? It doesn't matter what the interest rate was. Better off just buying it for cash. 100% mortgage, 0% deposit. You know, oh, it's going to have to be in your personal name. But who cares if it's in your personal name?
Yeah.
Because you've got it with...
You've just got the property.
No deposit.
Yeah.
As long as it's a good deal. It's a good property.
I think what you said was a really good tip, though. I'd kind of not thought about that. Still, take up this offer, but look for something that you could turn later on into a good investment.
And then just ask for permission. That's what we've done this again and again. Bought a property to live in, moved in, renovated it, made it nice.
Yeah.
And then we're like, actually, we want to move now. Could we get permission to do this as a... Let's just consent to let. Can we get consent to let on this property? And then a couple of years later, once it's gone up in value, refinance it onto a buy-to-let mortgage. The equity pays for the deposit. So we weren't pulling money out, but we weren't putting any money back in. So we started with a 10% deposit.
Yeah.
And then by the time it got up in value, refinanced it onto a 75% buy-to-let. We didn't have to put any more money in. Now we've got 25% equity in this asset. We can go buy another residential.
It's exciting. This is I'm really pumped about this. Even though
times.
I can't use it, I'm excited for people.
I'm excited
really
for people.
Like buzzing about it.
Yeah, and I'm excited. I hope it's still around when our kids. Oh, it's a while away. It'd be very different.
But if I had kids now that were like 18 to like 22, 24, I'd give them
a job,
like,
buy a house.
Yeah, 100%. I'd be absolutely buzzing.
Get on the ladder. I agree. Well, I'm Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And we'll see you next week.